We pray that we might know your love.
I'm going to be reading out of Luke 15, 11 through 24. Jesus continued. We've got a breeze going on here. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your sons. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with the compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and celebrate. And last, for the son is mine, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found, so they began to celebrate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, for all the ones come out to hear your word. We sing and praise your word. Good singing, Lord, it's all about you. Father, we just pray for Pastor, a little different way of message today, Lord, that you would be with him, guide and direct him. Father, we pray for our country. Lord, that we are living as today, Lord. Father, we pray, Father, for revival. Pray for the evilness going on in our country, the world. Father, we just pray for that people would repent and come to you, Lord, and that you would heal our land. Father, we just pray for keeping us safe during these times, keeping us healthy from sicknesses. Father, we lean on you. We know what you did on Calvary for our sins, that you protect us, Lord. And we just, again, pray for that we could be the light, Lord, to the lost in this world, this country that's facing turmoil. We just pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.
I thought I was ready. After all, I had worked for my father for years. I had started young, doing the small tasks around the farm. and learned how to care for the animals, making sure they had food, water. And even as a small child, I had helped gather the animals into the shelter to protect them from the storms and provide safety during the nights. And I remember my dad taking me out into the fields to cultivate the crops. He was so patient with me. Over and over and over again, he would show me what to do, pulling out the weeds, channeling the water, and helping me learn how to do it. And when I was a little older and bigger, well, he took me out to learn how to plow the fields. Well, at first, I walked beside him as he explained the process and the need to keep the rows straight in a certain depth. And then, as I got better, he brought me alongside, and I walked behind him with the oxen. And together we did it. But what was really funny was when he let me plow by myself. Well, we both had a good laugh as we looked back and saw the crooked row that I had plowed. Well, what a great feeling it was as we walked back to the house with his hand wrapped around mine. Well, it didn't seem to matter to him that I couldn't plow straight. He was delighted with me, and his face brightened every time he looked at me. Yes, my dad taught me well. And not only that, but I had learned by watching him. I watched him as he traded and sold. I watched him in the marketplace, and I thought, after all that time, that I knew all I needed to know about working a business. I really thought I was ready to be on my own. Well, I'm not sure how it happened, but I got tired of being at home. I got tired, I think, of others running my life. I got tired of being bossed around, and especially by my brother. And you know what else? I got tired of following other people's rules. After all, what makes them right? My opinions are just as good as theirs. Oh, yeah. Some big shot in the city, some elder, says we have to do something a certain way. So we all have to do it that way. Well, what about my freedom of expression? What right do they have to judge me? And you know, I think that's how I felt. I felt I was being judged. I felt I was never good enough. My older brother always seemed to follow the rules exactly. In fact, I think he must have written a couple of them. He was the one that always did it right. He had the good looks. He had the brains. He was the one everyone liked. And no one seemed to notice me. Or if they did, it was only to correct me and tell me I should be more like my brother. Well, I was just tired of all that. I wanted to get out on my own. I wanted to live my own life. I was done with others trying to boss me around. I wanted to be on my own. So I decided to ask my dad for my inheritance. Well, now you need to know that such a request was not as simple as asking for an advance on my allowance. I had a right to ask for my inheritance. At least that's how I read the law. The law said I could, sort of. Well, the truth is that I knew when I asked for my inheritance, it meant a lot more than just getting some money. And although the law allowed a son to get his inheritance while his father was still alive, it was really only meant for those fathers who mistreated their sons or who mismanaged their estate. If there were some way, you know, if there were some way to take the words back, I know I would. I just didn't realize how it would hurt him. The expression on his face. I don't know that I will ever forget the pain and the sorrow in his eyes. Now legally, my request for an inheritance meant I was disowning my family. Well, and I'll tell you, I was ready for that, especially my brother, okay? But it said something else to my father. It said that he had not been a father to me at all, or at least a very bad father. And I guess I broke his heart that day. You know, I was ready for him to yell at me, to argue. I was determined I was going to stand my ground. If he yelled, I was going to yell back, even louder. And if he tried to argue with me, I was ready to fire all my arguments right back. I had spent days rehearsing it in my mind. I was ready for the worst. I was ready to take him on. But he didn't argue. He didn't yell. In fact, the silence crushed me. He simply agreed and looked at me with those eyes. He didn't need to say a word. His eyes shouted with shock, disbelief, and pain. But the worst thing I read in his eyes was tragedy. I don't know how he knew, but it was like seeing my future in his eyes. I could look no longer. I turned and I left the room. Maybe I was ashamed of myself for the way I hurt my dad. Maybe I was just afraid that if I stayed around, I would chicken out and someone would talk me out of it. Well, I'm not sure. I just knew I needed to leave, and I needed to do it quick. So I gathered my belongings and packed my bags. And as soon as my father brought me my money, I would be ready to leave. Well, my father was true to his word. The next day, he settled accounts, and he brought me my inheritance. Well, some moments in life, you never forget. And this was one of those times. I could hardly bring myself to look him in the eyes, but I could read it in his face. Without a word, the disappointment screamed at me. I remembered all the plans we had talked about years earlier. Buildings, animals, crops, grandchildren. All those dreams. He was so disappointed that his dreams for me, his dreams for us, would never be realized. But behind the disappointment was something else. The soft, quiet voice of hope. I knew he was hoping I would change my resolve. And I almost did. Instead, I turned my back and walked away. I picked up my bags and I began my journey. I wasn't even sure where I was going. I just began walking. And though I never turned around to look, my pride wouldn't let me. I felt his eyes with each step. He never stopped watching. And even after I went over the hill and I knew he couldn't see me, I sensed a whisper, his whisper of hope, following my every move. But I didn't look back. I was determined to make it on my own, and I didn't need him, and I didn't need anybody. Well, after several days of travel, I finally arrived at a city where I knew I could stay. No one knew my family. No one could compare me to my brother, and I would succeed or fail on my own. I needed a place to stay, and I decided to ask around at a tavern there on the street. I guess I knew better. But I was my own man. And I could do what I wanted. No one was going to tell me what I could and couldn't do. And as I look back on it, I wish I could change that decision. I mean, if I would have only started out with the right friends, perhaps everything would have been different. Maybe I could have done better and been something my dad could have been proud of. But I made the mistake of finding my friends in the tavern. There were a couple of fellows there who said I could bunk with them. And to celebrate, I bought some drinks. Well, it all started harmless enough. The next day, instead of going and finding work like I knew I should, or a business to operate, well, they talked me into having a little vacation. Well, I mean, their reason seemed so right at the time. And you've probably heard all the same lines. Oh, you deserve a vacation. You deserve a little break. Or, yeah, there's always tomorrow. You can do it. You can do it tomorrow. And they seemed nice enough. And we were having fun. And besides, you know, they began to introduce me to some of the girls that were around. Well, the days turned into weeks and weeks into months. And every day I would think about finding that job. But when I decided to head down to the tavern, I mean, I thought about it. I was a big shot there. People respected me. They called me by name and they laughed with me. And no one tried to tell me what to do. And then one day, I realized my coin bag was awfully light. I mean, it wasn't really a sudden discovery. I had been aware of it for a while, but I thought I still had enough. Enough for what? I'm not quite sure, but I had enough coins. And I wasn't worried. Well, on this day, I went to pay for a meal, and I found I didn't have enough. But I wasn't worried. Nah. After all, I had bought my friends plenty of drinks. I knew that they would take care of me. And I had certainly been nice enough to my lady friends. I knew I could count on their help. But after a week or two, I discovered my friends were really no friends. No one called out my name when I walked into the tavern. No one offered me a drink or a meal. And the respect I thought I had became sour. People would turn their backs on me and walk away. And by this time, I was beginning to get a little hungry. I guess it was time to get that job I'd been thinking about for so long. The problem was the economy. A drought. A drought had come and caused the crops to fail, which led to a famine throughout the land. And the famine ruined the economy. And the jobs that were so plentiful when I had arrived had simply vanished. I was getting desperate. I was to the point of taking any work I could find. And the only thing I could find was as a hired hand feeding some pigs. I knew my dad would be ashamed if he knew what I was doing. But I was so hungry. And I was desperate. I even thought about eating the food I was feeding to the pigs. I couldn't believe it. I'd left home with such high hopes. Hopes for success, to become my own man, to be independent. And now I was thinking of eating the food that was only fit for animals. What had happened? Then I remembered that look in my father's eyes. That look. Tragedy. I began to realize what had happened, or should I say, what I had done. In my arrogance and pride, I left those who really cared for me. I ignored everything that my father had taught me. I thought I knew so much. And maybe I did know quite a bit. But I know this, I didn't practice anything I did know. And I got tired of smelling the pigs. Oh, that smell. I slept in the mud. I was always hungry. It seemed my thoughts kept returning to my home. I thought of my old room, my own bed. And I remembered my friends, my real friends. And I remembered that look in my father's eyes, now my father's face that day I left. Not the look of disappointment. That was overshadowed by that quiet look of hope. And then it hit me. Now, understand, I knew I could never return home as my father's son. I destroyed that relationship when I asked for my inheritance. But perhaps I could work in his fields as a hired servant. I mean, even my father's servants eat better than this, and they have a nice place to live. Well, the first time this thought crossed my mind, I rejected it. I imagined what my brother would say and what my friends would do. I couldn't stand the humiliation. I was a failure. I'd broken my father's heart, and I wasted his gift to me. Oh, I wished I never would have spoken such foolish words and left my father's home. How could I face him? How could I face them? And then it hit me again. I was once again letting my pride get in the way of my wisdom. My pride was about to keep me in the pig troughs. And if I listened instead to my wisdom and was willing to walk in humility, I could at least be in the presence of my father. Well, that day, I gathered my few remaining possessions and I set out for home. All the way home, I rehearsed what I was going to say. I would admit my sin and acknowledge my unworthiness. I would ask him to make me a hired servant. If I could get the opportunity, I would ask him. Well, when I first left the pigs, I walked quickly. I wanted to get as far away from the smell as I could. But as my steps neared home, I began to slow. Realistically, I knew that I might never get the chance to ask him. He might not see me. I hurt him that day. I remember the pain in his eyes. What if he can't forgive me? What if he won't even acknowledge me? What if he's not even alive and I can't ask his forgiveness? I stopped just before the crest. I crested the top of the hill. On the other side of that hill were my father and my home. And I knew that once I stepped over that hill, I would be admitting to everyone that I wasn't good enough, that I was a failure. And I had no guarantees I would be welcomed. And once again, I regretted my foolish decision to ever leave my father's side. And once again, I wrestled with my pride. I thought about what I would be giving up. The false friendships, the pig troughs, the wasted life. And regardless of my reception, I knew I needed to return home. I needed to stop acting on my feelings of pride and self-centeredness and do the right thing. I needed to confess my wrong. I needed to try to heal the wound I had caused my father. So I just started down the hillside toward my father's home when I saw him. I don't know how he could have done it. I guess he must have been watching. But when I saw him, he was already running toward me. I had never seen my father run. But he was running toward me, and I could see the joy in his face. He was coming to welcome me. I can't describe what I felt at that moment. The fear of rejection was washed away in the radiance of his face. And I ran toward him, and we embraced. He took me in his arms, held me close to his heart, and said with forgiveness in his voice, "My son, do you know I still love you?"
Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. After I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. I wondered then if things would ever be the same. But one night I remembered his love for me, and down that dusty road ahead I could see, it's the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. And then he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, my son, do you know I still love you? He ran to me.
Tried to say the words I had rehearsed so many times on the way home. I tried to tell him that I had sinned and I wasn't worthy to be called his son. But it was like he never heard me. He kept calling me his son and had his servants begin to serve me. He had them bring my ring, which was the symbol of my relationship to him, that I was his son. And they brought it and put it on my finger. And he had them bring sandals for my feet and remove my filthy rags. And we celebrated that night as we had never celebrated before. I dared only hope that I could be a servant for my father. But he restored me to being his son. On that day, I discovered that I couldn't change the past. As much as I wanted, I can never remove the hurtful words I spoke to my father when I decided to leave. But more than that, I discovered that I should never allow my past foolishness to keep me from right actions today. Every day we are faced with the consequences of our past. And every day we must decide if we will live based upon past regrets or future hopes. I could only hope that my dad would receive me back as a hired servant. And because on that day I chose to look forward in hope based upon right actions instead of paralyzed with past regrets, I gained more than I could ever have hoped for. Maybe there's someone in your life whom you have offended. Don't let your past regrets keep you from restoring your relationship. I also learned that allowing my hurts to dictate my behavior only results in disaster. I allowed the hurts I felt from being compared to my brother to dictate my life. Trying to escape that pain, I ran away from the only real love I knew and into shallow, misguided relationships. Too often, we try to escape hurt by building walls and closing ourselves off from others, and we finally end up living with the pigs. C.S. Lewis said, "To love is to be vulnerable." My father acted in love toward me, and he became very vulnerable to the pain I caused him. Yet because he acted in love, I was drawn back to him. To react out of hurt and pain, or to act in love, which does God desire? Well, he answered that question when he gave his only begotten son to express the ultimate love. Perhaps someone has hurt you. Will you react by building a wall to keep them out? Or will you choose to act in love as my father did? And finally, I realize that my adequacy is not based upon my abilities, but upon my father's sufficiency. So confident was I. I thought I could build my own empire, and yet I failed miserably. Amazingly, that didn't matter to my father. When I returned to him, he did not evaluate my adequacy. He restored me based upon his sufficiency. Too often we compare ourselves to others, or even standards that we establish for ourselves. And then we allow Satan to bash us over the head because we don't measure up to those standards. And all the time, God is there quietly whispering to us, "My son, my daughter, do you know how much I love you?" Our worth is not measured by our successes or our failures, but by his love for us. It is his undeserved, unquestionable love for us that gives us and gives our lives value and meaning. And in the security of that love, we can join God on mission to reach this community for Christ and this world for Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for the way your word demonstrates so many deep truths of life. I thank you for Jesus, who gave us the parables, who spoke to us in such a way that each of us could see ourselves in the stories. And then each of us can learn because of it. I thank you, God, for your goodness and for your love. And I pray, God, that as we go from this place today, that we can take the message of love and of grace and of forgiveness to a very lost world. In Christ's name, amen. Now, before the group sings, I want to, and we do our closing song, I have a few certificates that I need to give out and a few Bibles. A few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to baptize a couple of young ladies. They're here today, and so we want to ask them to come up. Ava and Jada, if you want to, Jadelyn, you want to come on up? Come on, you can do it. Mom, if you need to come with them to encourage them, you can do it. Robert's up here. Robert won't bite you, okay? All right, he'll take care of you. We have baptismal certificates for him, okay? Okay, Jada, this one's yours, okay? Jadelyn. Well, somebody told me it was Jada, that you went by Jada. Jadelyn, I'm sorry, I apologize, okay? And this is Avalyn, okay? And this is, the certificate says it's a certificate of baptism, certifies that Avalyn and Jadelyn, okay, were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Meadview, Arizona, on the 12th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2020. And that's from the church to you, and you guys have those. And then there are Bibles here, okay, a Bible for each of you. And we have one other Bible for Ron, okay? And Jeff, you weren't here when I gave Ron his certificate. Jeff, you want to come up? Ron, you want to come on up? You guys turn around, face them. They want to see your happy faces, okay? Yes, happy, beautiful faces. Come on up here, Jeff. We gave Ron his certificate the other day. We had it ready, but the Bible hadn't arrived, and that's a new Bible for you, celebrating your baptism. And Jeff had a rebaptism, and this is to certify his certificate of renewal, to say that he was renewing his relationship with God. You know, the message this morning in the video was about repentance, turning back to God, recognizing that we need to turn.